And I want to say thank you, before I forget again, Preacher sent us a van, and it was a blessing, and kept in such good shape, the number one van we've driven years ago, but kept in such wonderful shape, 148,000 miles, and TJ had it all ready for us, and just appreciate the church thinking about us. I want to thank you folks and the preacher. Of course, we've already thanked him, but we're putting it to work already, picking up some kids. And but I picked them up myself from school. I've helped at the school in Skyline, and we had several kids. And, you know, God's blessing our King's Kids ministry, ages 4 to 10. And it's just about my age group that I can identify with, you know. And I don't know what I'm going to do when I grow up. I really hadn't figured that out. But, you know, we had them packed into my van. Be honest with you, I had a couple of them seat-belted together before in my old van. But don't tell anybody. It's a secret, okay? But anyhow, we just went like a few miles to church, but still, thankfully we didn't get pulled over. So that's a great thing to use, kept in wonderful shape, and we're going to use it for God's glory. Appreciate that. It reminded me of a sad memory I had one time. We don't ever do an all-nighter of anything. You know, don't try it, please. But we did it with young people, and I was going around that barricade. They put a water, you know, cement little rectangle and behind the church building, and one time, and I'd been up all night. You know, I think first of all, I went down the street. I don't know if they called it get and go, or now it's come and go, down the street, National and Norton. And I went in there to get a refill, keep myself awake. You know, the worst time is when it gets light in the morning after you've been all night up with kids. And I went in there in the convenience store, I got my refill, and I walked out. And the guy who was running the store come out. He was mad. You know, I think it was a 49-cent drink. He thinks I'm going to pull up deliberately with a church van and steal, you know, a drink from coming. And I said, I've been up all night with kids, and I'm really sorry, and I apologize. He looked like, I don't believe a word you're saying, buddy. So that might not have been the same time, but I pull around the back there by the concrete little wall there. Well, I got a little too close in my turn. One of those tires popped. Sorry about that, folks, but that was years ago. I think they're $250 apiece or whatever, but, you know, at the time, probably worth more than that now. But anyway, so God forgave me, I guess, because we got the van back, and we're thankful for that. Thankful for that, and we use it for God's glory. And, boy, I enjoyed it today. Went out with some of the Gray family, Lemons, and Dan Mills and his family. And I don't know if they'll ever go out with me again because I had a lot of stories for them and stuff. But it was fun. I hope I didn't embarrass them too bad. But we had a good time in the Lord. And, you know, I appreciate you folks' receptivity to the Bible. I can just tell you're here, and this is supposedly, I hate to say, Super Bowl Sunday, so the ushers will be around looking over your shoulders, make sure your phones aren't on and stuff like that. But anyway, we're not worried about that. You know, people like to identify with a winner, don't they? Yeah. And we identify with the winner of winners, don't we? Yeah. And we read the back of the book, and we win, right? Yeah. Let's go there. Revelation chapter 22 this morning, or this evening. I think it's the evening. Revelation 22. We're going to get an overview of this chapter. There's no way you could cover in one message. But, you know, sometimes when you look over something, you can see different things. Over at our lake, we got Pomme de Terre Lake. It's really pretty. It's kind of unspoiled. Fisherman's Lake. You ought to come out and see us. You can use our kayaks if you want to. We got a couple kayaks float around, some of you couples and stuff. Seriously, if you ever want to call, give us a call. Use our kayaks out there. And it's a pretty lake to paddle around, good exercise. But, you know, when sometimes you're on the lake, it's pretty and see nice things. But sometimes when you're up on the above it by the dam, you can see it even better, the beauty of it. God's wonderful creation. Even with thousands of years of men messing things up and sin and wickedness and pollution and all that, a lot of the beauty of creation is still here. Just think what heaven will be like. But here in this book of Revelation, let's get started with chapter 22. And if we can stand for the reading of God's word, verse number 1, Revelation 22. And he showed me a pure river of water life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There shall be no more curse, But the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in him, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these people that love you, want to worship you, as the song said tonight, and specials and other songs to the Lord. And we're here to praise your wonderful name. And we believe in this book, Lord. We thank you for preserving the Word of God. And just speak to our hearts tonight. The world doesn't have anything on us. All the wild parties and everything going on. Lord, we've got something really wonderful to celebrate. And that's you, Lord. And help us tonight to come into your holy presence, appreciative of all you've done. Forgive me for where I failed you. Fill me with your Spirit. Bless these dear folks here. They're a blessing to me in this wonderful church. Bless the preacher as he travels, Lord, and bring him back safely. And God, just meet with us and meet every spiritual need tonight. May you be glorified in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, this is the final words in God's Word. This is the closest thing to heaven that we can see, God's Word. It's so precious. We believe in the verbal, plenary Word of God. It's all, every word is inspired by God. And God has kept it preserved to this time. And, you know, I think it's always, I'm kind of hyper, as you know, sometimes, and I get kind of excited about things. And sometimes I'm reading a book, and it's hard for me to make it through a book. But, boy, we need to make it through this book, don't we? And we need every year, you know, to at least make an effort to read the whole book of the Word of God each year. If you don't make it, just don't give up and start back over and not read the whole thing. Because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's all profitable for doctrine, for rebuke, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, the man of God. That you young people, I appreciate it, come to the church here, and they ask for my autograph. I said, what? You want my autograph? And, you know, I signed the paper, and I put a verse. I used to put on there Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Our attitude, our relation to God, our heart condition. But you know, another one I like that relates to our message tonight, I put it in the Bible today. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass. And this word, glass in the Bible, is usually mirror. As we look into this mirror, it reveals everything about us. And it reveals everything about Him. And we look in this book, and we're doing a study on the Emmaus Road. As Jesus looked in the Old Testament and showed these men, they're kind of down, discouraged. And he showed them through all the scriptures himself. And he said, didn't our hearts burn? God wants our hearts to burn for him. God wants our hearts to burn in love and worship and praise for him like has been uttered here in song tonight. And as we look into this last book, we think about paradise. Wow, what a place. Someone said, Branson, what a place. Well, it's not paradise, my friends. It's not quite there. It's okay to visit, you know, and I like the natural beauty there, and there's some good family-oriented things there, but it's not paradise. But we're looking for a city whose builder, maker is God. A perfect place. There won't be any complaint section there. And we won't have any there. Because everything, David even had some problems, real difficulties with sin, getting off track. But he said, I know one thing. I'll be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Amen. We won't be disappointed with that. Boy, in heaven there's a street of gold, the walls of jasper, gates of pearl. There's jewels, and there's different emeralds and things represented in many beautiful colors. There's a sea of crystal around the throne of God. Just think, as the Lamb, as the light thereof, as that light goes through all these beautiful surroundings. And the light of Jesus Christ, he's going to be the one that is so glorious and produces that beauty there. Wow, what a place that is. Paradise was lost back in Genesis, wasn't it? It took man one test, and we failed it all. We all failed in Adam. I believe it had been any of us, we'd done the same thing. But in Adam, all died. But in Christ, all have the opportunity to be saved. And paradise The new paradise is regained. There was a tree of life in the midst of the garden. Man blew that. He was kicked out of the garden. He was expelled from the garden. Paradise was on this earth temporarily in the Garden of Eden. But now this is going to be even better because it's the river of life, water of life, literally flowing from the throne of God. And it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be glorious. I believe it represents something, even though it's real. I believe it represents eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. What a place it'll be. Nothing new here in the message, but we want to remind you of what we do know about heaven. The Bible talks about fruit there. Now, I got to eat here a few times. There's such good people here in the church, and a nice place. They let us stay overnight over here in the missions apartment. We appreciate that beautiful place. But you know, in heaven, it talks about 12 manner of fruits. Someone said, in the commentary, I like this commentary, I'm going to use this one again, but it says something about we won't have to eat, but it looks like we get to eat in heaven. And boy, won't be any junk food either. It's going to be good, nutritious, and it's going to be satisfying. We know that even talks about times in the Bible when they fed the angels, when they came and visited Abraham. But, you know, it's not going to be we won't need that, but thank God for his blessings in heaven, in that place. The tree of life on both sides of the river. Some people think it's talking about one particular type of tree. Not just one tree that goes on both sides of the river. That'd be kind of hard to see, but it could be. I think Spurgeon and some others thought it's a certain type of tree that is on both sides of the river. But whatever it turns out to be, it's going to be beautiful, glorious, and it'll bring health. You say, why is healing needed if we don't get sick anymore? But it's literally the idea is health to the nations that God blesses during that time. So there's no more curse. There's been a curse on this earth, of course, because of sin. But in the holy city, there'll be no more curse because God will be. There can be no curse where God is. In fact, there's no sin going to enter into that city, the Bible says, and nothing that defileth. How in the world can we get there? But unto him is able to present us faultless before his glory. What a God. We don't make it through a day without sinning. I met two people that said they didn't sin. And they're both out our way in the country. One was a lady. Oh, no, one was in Springfield one time. But anyway, I said, wow, you never sin at all? And I was I was just in my 20s when the first one said it here. And said, no, I've sinned before, but I don't sin. Well, I said, you must not have a very broad definition of sin, like from the Bible. It must be very narrow. I guess it's just killing somebody or something like that. But anyway, the Bible says if we say we have no sin, we make God's a liar. We make God's word a liar. But the Bible says when we do sin, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. But someday we're delivered from the presence of sin. And we'll be delivered, and we're being delivered from the power of sin. And we'll go home to sin no more. What a time that'll be. So this is the final destiny of us, the saints. You know how to get a taste of heaven? We can't go there. We can read about it in God's word. The Bible says as we behold in this glass, we go from one glorious thing to another, from glory to glory. How? By the Spirit of the Lord. For where the Spirit of God is, there's glory. And he glorifies himself. He glorifies Christ. And we're thankful that we see Christ in this book. And it can transform our life. 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we see what he's done for us. What sin has done. Romans 6 says, by one man sin came into the world. And death by sin, Romans 5. But grace is greater than all of our sin. What God did. What one man, the God-man, did. He defeated all of the enemies of God's people. And the enemies of God in one great victory on the cross and in the resurrection. So paradise is restored. But you want to get a little taste of that? Just worship God like you're doing tonight. Focus on the Lord. We talked about some of that this morning. God is worthy of our worship. And this passage brings out worship again. The book of Psalms, 150 chapters as it's divided. One of the largest books, largest book in chapters. What's it about? It's about praising God. Let everything that had breath praise God. Worship him. He's worth praise. It means to brag. Brag on God. We don't have anything to brag on in ourselves. God forbid, Paul said, that I should glory, save, except in the cross of Calvary. Amen. Oh, we need something to brag about. And we need to be out bragging for the Lord for all that he does for us. Don't be ashamed if it's a lost person. Well, maybe they might be offended if I brag on God. They say, well, you're doing well today. Well, I better not say too much about God. Maybe they'll be offended. Maybe it'll help them if you let them know. Well, God's blessed me with so many things. And they said, you know, maybe I'm missing something. Don't be ashamed. Don't just say, well, how's things going? Well, pretty good. Why don't you say, well, God's been good to me. God's blessed me. And he gives us joy. The world thinks that we're in this little box and we're missing out on everything. And they said, we need a life. One time I was with some kids in a canoe and they were actually dressed decently, you know, and going on a Christian canoe trip. And they saw, we went past some people out drinking, and they probably were improperly dressed. We tried to avoid those times, but we were going down the river, and they said, you know, those people over there, they need a life. Truth is, they don't have no life, any life at all if they're not saved. But in Christ, we have life. We have more abundantly. Amen. We don't have to feel bad about certain restrictions. God restricts only things that would harm us and hinder us. You know, the Bible says we're made for the pleasure, not selfish, carnal pleasure, but pleasure of knowing him and worshiping him. He's the greatest pleasure of all. We sing songs about that. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He is more than life to me. He's the fairest of 10,000. Do we mean that in our hearts? That's what thrills us and excites us. It's the greatest one of all, who revealed and unveils himself in that beautiful book of Revelation throughout the Bible. Oh, as we look upon him, the one who rescued us. It's not enough just for God to rescue us from hell. But he has already seated us in heavenly places in Christ. He's redeemed us. It was mentioned in Sunday school this morning. We're adopted into his family. All the blessings. It's like a big giant gift. A salvation, and there's all these small gifts inside. When we open that up, it's the greatest thing that could happen to anyone. It's something to rejoice about eternally. Amen. Don't get over it, my friend. Amen. And don't let others talk you down. If you want to praise God, I'm not talking about putting on a show and trying to impress somebody. I'm talking about adoring him, just enjoying him. Really, you know, people make a big deal about Easter and Christmas and all that, and I see why we celebrate resurrection, but we celebrate the resurrection every week and every Sunday. Christians began to meet on the first day of the week. And, you know, it's a big deal. God wants us to celebrate every day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice. Be glad in it. All right, so the final call to worship him. John got mixed up. You know, people get mixed up. Do you ever get mixed up? I do about lately. And here John saw all these things about the end time. And he saw a vision of the Lord in chapter 1, recorded there. And throughout the scriptures. And then there's this majestic, powerful angel. And he was so overwhelmed, maybe got confused. And he fell down. And it says, verse 9, see thou do it not. Don't do that. Jesus never refused worship. Why? Because he's worthy of it. And he was worshipped during his earthly ministry. But he never refused it. But the angels do. They're majestic beings. They don't sin anymore. But God's holiness so far surpasses theirs. See, his goodness. Holiness is not just abstaining from sin. We'll do that someday. But holiness also includes that he's incomparable. That he's good above all the holy angels. And they're just amazed. Even the holiest of angels are the highest ranks of angels. And they cry out, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. There's none like him. None even close. So we enjoy, we worship God for who he is in this book, as revealed in this book. We don't have to conjure up images of God and what he's like. There's a lot about him right here in this book. As it's a gradual revelation, unveiling truths about God and other things that we need to know. So this is the final call here. Worship God. God, last word here in the book, one of the last words, he said, think about heaven. It's okay. It's okay to look forward to heaven. This is not, we're not home yet. You know that old missionary illustration about the missionaries coming home into the harbor in New York City, and they see this big crowd there, and they got excited. They didn't think nobody would show up to see him, and they find out it was for Teddy Roosevelt or someone else, and I've heard a couple different versions of it. And the man and wife, I guess they actually went home depressed. And they said, well, you know, they came to the realization. One of them said, we're not home yet. We're not home yet. My friend, when you get down and when you see all the wickedness in government and you see all the lies that come through the media and you see men disappoint us, we disappoint ourselves. We think about God. We're not home yet, folks. Amen. It's going to be wonderful there. One of my brothers, and I know you've lost some from this church, dear people, one of my brothers passed away a few weeks ago in church. He's not my physical brother, but one of the brothers in church. And he had the virus. He had a rare lung problem, but it got him in his lungs. He passed on to heaven. You know, his boys were there in their 40s, just good. He's only 64 years old. But we know where he's at. You know, I just felt led to speak at the cemetery just saying, hey, we're not going to say goodbye to him. We're going to say, we'll see you in a little bit, just a little while, because this life doesn't last very long. It's like a fog that appears, we see it, a vapor that appears for a time and vanishes away. This is just a little test on the way to heaven. So the finality of death, the second and the second coming, verses 10 and 11, it says, seal not the sayings of these prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. You know, people didn't really understand this book of Revelation until the early 1900s, probably. God began to open it up. Even some of the great preachers like Spurgeon didn't really understand what we call pre-trib so much and other things about the end times. But God began to open up these things to man. And I'm not saying those men were infallible. We wouldn't agree with them on everything, but men began to understand this in the last 100 years or so, or 1,000 years or so, and this has been opened up to us. But someday the finality of it, of those who reject Christ as they breathe their last breath, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. One of my neighbors passed away the other day. And according to his family, he had made a profession of faith, and he didn't go to church anywhere at the time. But I got to thinking, boy, I can't mess around. And he fixed lawnmowers and stuff, and hopefully he was ready for heaven. But, you know, we can't mess around. We never know when someone's going to pass away. We need to be persistent in trying to determine from them if they know the Lord, if they're ready for heaven. We never know when it can happen. And this life is short, but it's final. After death, there's no second chance. There's no purgatory. It's a fiction made up by the Roman Catholics. It's not nowhere in the Bible. The final warnings of the suddenness of his coming. Verse 7, behold, I come quickly. You know, they said 2 Peter, the world says, where's the promise of his coming? You know, and they show anything about the coming of Christ, they make mockery of it. They'll show some person that looks disheveled and messed up, and they're carrying around the side, Jesus is coming. Well, the Bible teaches that he is coming back. And the first phase of it, he's going to come in the air. One of these days, there's nothing prophetically that has to happen before he comes up in the air. Paul looked for it. Others in the Bible looked for it. So how's it quickly? Well, the idea here is it's going to be a sudden change. The quickly is once things start happening, things are going to be quick and they're happening. No warning for the rapture. If Jesus could come tonight or at any time in the air. But then after that, in the first phase, it's going to be secret. He's going to come as a thief in the night. The second phase, and you folks know your doctrine, every eye shall see him. It's going to be a very evident thing. But the whole thing will transpire quickly. This is going to happen. This is sure. Jesus will come again. And all those mockers are going to be sorry. And at one point, every knee, and all these mockers too, will bow. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But for many and most, it'll be too late. So we're here as his ambassadors to share the good news. And I think we need to share the bad news too. We need to warn them. I've got a few people that I've done Bible studies with. They're not saved yet. And I'm getting together a lesson to go back to some of them. In a night, and led by the Spirit, I don't want to do this in the flesh, and give them a lesson on the dangers of rejecting Christ. People need to know that. It's a serious thing to reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, verse 13, he said, I want to remind you something here. The last chapter, last few words in the Bible, I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. This is the finisher and the beginner, the Lord Jesus Christ, Omega, being the last letter in the Greek alphabet, and Alpha, the first 11 letter. I'm the A, I'm the Z. I started all this. I created all this. Someday, I'm going to wrap all this age up. And, you know, it's gonna big job. You ever make a big mess? I have, sometimes Teresa's gone, and I call her and I say, when are you going to be back home? You know, I don't tell her. I made a big mess, and I got to clean it up. Because, dynamite comes in small packages, like I said this morning. And anyway, she says, well, I'm in Fair Grove. Okay, I got 30 minutes left. Clean up this mess. It's a big mess. I'm trying to get it done so I have life. I don't want to be up there with the dog, you know. But anyway, this is a big mess that man has made in this world. Only one can clean it up. Our government is not going to clean it up. But God is. One of these days, he'll clean it up. He's going to clean it up quickly. You know, I thought, well, this is great. Coming down with them is horses. They got a lot of horses up north. I like that. I'm not very good at it. And I go slow. You know, and one of the teenagers once was teaching me how to ride a horse. How do you want to go? Slow. And I want a trained horse. I don't want to come flying off of this thing. But anyway, we're coming down on white horses with the Lord. Boy, we're going to defeat that enemy. It's going to be great. No, he won't need our help at all. He's going to destroy him by the word of his mouth. And I like to think about you folks that are saved and myself and seeing myself. I'm in that crowd there. It's like it already happened because God says it's going to happen. And we're going to come down. And we're going to be riding those horses. And we're going to watch him clean this thing up. What a Savior. The A, the Z, the finisher, the beginner. God can start everything. God creates life. God has the power to do anything. Thank God for him. The final invitation from God and his people. In verses 17, we're getting there, folks. Hang on here. It says, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Throughout the Bible, lots of invitations. There's invitations in the Old Testament. Come now, you that and reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be red like crimson, they shall be as white as snow. And Isaiah 1:18, other invitations. Come to the waters. You don't have any money. Without money, without price. Isaiah 55, many invitations in the Bible. Jesus said, come, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. And here he is, after all man's rebellion. He said, come to him. He still loves us. He's still not willing that any should perish. That all should come to repentance. One final invitation. Why don't you get a final sentence again about the judgment? No, there's a final invitation here. And the Holy Spirit himself will convict the world of sin, righteousness, judgment to come. He speaks through this book. And he speaks through the inner man. And he convicts the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment to come. And the bride, that's God's people. Someday we'll make up each church is like a picture of the bride, in the sense. But someday we'll make up all together the bride of Christ in the future. We'll all be with him. He said that maybe they all may be one. And we're going to be worshiping forever. And he says, come. The Spirit, the bride says, come. And all those that hear it, that come to Christ, say, come. Let him that is athirst come. It says, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely.
He's offering the salvation to all that will be are willing. It doesn't say whensoever you will, but it says whosoever will. And only under Holy Spirit conviction can people come. Without the word, they can't understand, they cannot know the way of salvation. God uses human instruments like us to share the word with others, the way of salvation. We're just God's messenger people to share God's message. And we're saying, come. The Lord's saying, come. Jesus, the Spirit's saying, come. God's people are saying, come. Come now. Take of the water of life. That's God's plan for us, to share the gospel. Whitfield cried out. He had a voice, booming voice, and he cried out outside without the speakers even in those days. And he's out there bellowing out the gospel, and many came to Christ. Spurgeon, a master of exposition of the scriptures, you can still read his messages today and they convict hearts today. And God used him. And Moody and others, even some that weren't Baptists, sorry about that, but some of them were, they're saved anyway, and they're preaching the gospel. And I'm Baptist, by the way. I'm thankful for my Baptist heritage. But all these are saying, come, all God's people that are praising him, worshiping him. We don't want others to miss out. We want them to enjoy God and enjoy eternity. It says, you know, this is the finality of the whole thing, that God is finally. But someday the age of grace will end and many lives end, and it'll be too late for them. The finality of those that reject Christ. There's a final warning and a final encouragement. It says in verse 19, if any man take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and the things that are written in this book. Don't mess with this book. It's God's word. And I know nobody here would do that, but the world needs to hear this. People want to tear it apart and want to create doubt and said Moses didn't write these five books of the Old Testament and all these other things where they're higher critics, so to speak. They want to tear up, and there were some even in Springfield years ago, and some so-called scholars from a college, they said, well, Jesus didn't say this. Jesus didn't say this. He didn't say, Father, forgive them. Well, I believe God's word, no matter what man says. We don't need to tear it up and cut little holes in the Bible. It's all smarter than any of its critics. It's outlasted all of its critics. So there's a fearful judgment for those that tear up this book, the false teachers. But he says, he leaves it on a positive note. If you look at the Old Testament, we won't turn there. But the last phrase is, lest I smite the earth with a curse. You know, the law was good, it's holy. But the law is our schoolmaster leading us to Christ. There was a good lesson on it this morning. It has a purpose, and it still has validity. The laws for today, an application for today. But, you know, God used the law to show us that we all, the holiness of God, as was mentioned today, and that we need a substitute. We cannot reach heaven upon our own good works. We all fall short. We all make other gods in his place. And we need a Savior, and we need a perfect Savior. And so the New Testament ends with this last promise and prayer of the Bible. He which testified these things saith, John, as he's inspired by the Holy Ghost, surely, Jesus says, I come quickly. I am for sure. God cannot lie. Promise before the world, and this is the anchor that we can hold on to, that he is coming to change this world, that he's worthy of our worship. He's not only one that can satisfy our soul. He can give us excitement, thrills, joy, just by serving him and loving him. You know, they think it's boring to serve the Lord. Sin's boring. You know, you see down in remnants of it all around, Commercial Street, other places. A life without God is boring. But a life, the closer we get to God, the more exciting it gets. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. God's grace, undeserved favor, God's empowerment. You know, sometimes God takes something away. Sometimes he gives us the grace to handle it. God's grace be with you, that you can continue to shine as a church for the Lord Jesus Christ and be consistent as you've been through the preacher's ministry, through Brother Gray's ministry, and how God's blessed this church. Buy the truth, the Bible says, and sell it not. Continue in the things, as it was said this morning, that you've heard. And God will enable you to keep going. The grace of God keeps us going. And it ends with that prayer. And if you haven't come to Christ, you need God. You need to take His grace. That's the only way you can be saved, is through His grace. Christians, the only way we're going to serve God and worship Him and be used in this dark age is by His grace and empowerment. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this beautiful unveiling of Christ in paradise. All that you have for us, Lord, we just touched on it tonight. Thank you for the faithfulness of this church and how it's standing, and all the wonderful people here. Just pray you bless them for your faithfulness and just touch hearts tonight. Use this simple message, Lord, to touch hearts, and we thank you for that, that you promised that your word would not return void or empty. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand. Things of the earth seem pretty important sometimes, don't they? But as the song said, we turn our eyes upon Him. Things of the world don't seem that important anymore, do they? Look full in His glory and grace, or the things of earth will look strangely dim in the light.